You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. If you were listening to yesterday, I'm sorry about running out of time there. I looked up, I still had plenty of time and was talking fast, and all of a sudden I looked up and I was out of time. So if you were listening yesterday, I was trying to get in, squeeze in there with the last few breath, flee the carnal desires of the season your life is in. So, we'll one of these days we'll be able to figure out how to manage that clock situation. So people come to Merritt Assembly God guest speakers and they say, well, what time do you let out? And I said, well, I aim for 12, but my aim is bad. And so anyway, I want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air. Wyrick Air is based in Rockledge, Florida. They've been providing air conditioning, heating, and electrical solutions through professional sales services and repairs for 50 years now. They work in residential and light commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. They provide service in all of Brevard County, all the way down from Barefoot Bay, which is way down there from Merritt Island, all the way up to the Mims, Scott Moore area, from the coast inland. They go all throughout the county, and they are up to date on all of the new requirements. January brought in new air conditioning systems and new guidelines and new requirements and all of that sort of stuff. And Dennis was talking to me not too long ago about those, and it's like, you're kidding. I couldn't believe the new requirements that were out there. It's like, that's got catastrophe written all over it. But anyway, they're up to date on all of the new rules and regulations and all of that sort of stuff. If you're wanting to get ready for the season of heat, that comes up here in a few weeks, give them a call, 321-632-9538. Their, license numbers are RA0066854 and EC1300-2439. Wyrick Air, they can help you, maintain the comfort level that you require. So today we're returning to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verse number 22 of the second chapter of Timothy. It says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So we're going to stop the reading there. If we get through all of that, we may read on further, but we're going to stop right there for just a moment. So like I said at the top of the program, Paul was admonishing Timothy, instructing him to flee the lust that would be typical for a person in that season of his life. And you know, I was under the misconception in my early life that at some point in time you would grow up and that you would not really, deal with the temptations that young people are faced with. One day I was in my retail environment and I'm just not one of those people that likes to have just the same retail conversation over and over again. How are you today? I'm fine. Is there anything I can help you with? No, I'm just looking. Okay, well, if you need anything, I'll be right over here. I hated that conversation. So I would create different conversation points so that it would let people know, hey, you know, we don't want this to be overbearing, but we don't want it to be boring either. We want you to know we're here. And so I asked this one guy, he came into the store. I said, are you behaving yourself today? That's one of my lines that I use on people to break the ice. And the gentleman looked at me, and I'll never forget this. He said, son, I'm 92 years old. I don't have any choice but to behave myself. And we chuckled and laughed, and I said, yeah, I suppose that's so. A week later, I was listening to the radio. The store that I was working in had a radio there, and I would listen to the news if there was nobody in the store. When all of a sudden, a news headline came, and it talked about a 92-year-old man who had just been arrested in the state of Florida for murder. And it's like, well, I guess you can be tempted to do some things even in your 90s or in your 80s. You know, the enemy wants to create a thought pattern in us that would fulfill desires. And in doing that work in our mind, make it look like we are doing the right thing when we are actually doing the wrong thing. So literally, the earlier in life that you learn this, we literally have to take every thought, every imagination, and bring it into captivity, bring it into submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our thoughts should honor God. They should be thoughts of pleasing Him, not tempting ourselves, not looking to ourselves as our source, not looking to the dictates of the moment, but instead we should say, this thought is either a godly thought or a thought to be rejected, one of the two. And if we will do that, we will be successful in dealing with the temptations and the ungodly cravings and desires, the lusts that we have. We will be very successful in fleeing from those. I saw an article in 2024, and it said this, that at a certain point in time, and it's pretty young, that at, you know, by your 20s, I think it is, that most adults in their 20s will never run as fast as they could run ever again. And I thought, you know, that's gotta be hard on our system. I don't want to I don't just want to be able to walk. I mean, that's a good thing, but I want to be able to run fast if I have to. And so if I found myself in a situation, I want to be able to get out of there in a hurry. That's the mental picture of fleeing. It's not just a gradual movement away from, but instead it is a rapid departure from that environment. Here, flee youthful lust is not something that you can do by changing geographic position. You can remove yourself from a circumstance, but the way that God makes a way of escape for every temptation is He changes our heart. So I can flee youthful lust by not putting myself in an environment that the people of this world would put themselves in, that create those ungodly lusts. But the ultimate solution is for God to change my heart to where I don't ever want to do those things. And so I've used this example before. You could put a whole stack of somebody else's money in this room with me. No temptation there, because that's not the way money does not get the sovereign dictate in my life. And I've seen a lot of people chase after that, and it ends up being devastating for them, because it cannot change your heart and it cannot change your eternity in a godly manner. Substances don't have any temptation there at all. But through the years, I have talked about how there's a restaurant that I happen to enjoy. It's not it's the greatest of food. There are restaurants in that niche that I like the quality of their food better. But this particular restaurant, I like the people that work there. I like the food. And in 2024, some of my numbers started going up in my lab work that shouldn't go up. And I was doing everything that I thought I could do. And all of a sudden, the doctor, threw down the gauntlet and said, if you don't get this under control, we're going to have to put you on a medication. Well, I don't want to let what I can control be uncontrolled and then try and control the consequences of it. The better way for me is, let's see if we can figure out how to get those numbers back into line. And so I made major adjustments. And what I discovered in the process was I found that the food that I liked, there was a component of there that triggered the alarm bells, or the bells of understanding inside of my brain. The doctor would run down a list of the things that I needed to avoid, and none of those were, when you think of words, you get pictures. And so I didn't. He starts running down the list, and I don't have any of those pictures in my head that are really dominant in my life. What I didn't understand was that the presentation of some of the food it didn't fit my picture, but it was the definition. And so I changed my eating, and all of a sudden one day I discovered that there was a lot of mass, a lot of weight that I was eliminating from the presentation of the food. And it's like all of a sudden my weight started dropping, because it's like, oh man, I feel the weight of this, and there's not much nutritional value in that part of the meal. I said, there's a lot of weight there, and I was eating a lot of that. And so the way that I wanted to flee from poor health meant that it didn't mean that I had to stop eating at the restaurant. It meant that there were certain things that they were providing that I wanted to flee from. And so we need God to open the eyes of our understanding to the hidden things of life that might not fit our definition, but are actually God's definition. And so if we're going to talk to the world about how they need to flee from the things that are destroying them, we also need to be people who are very intentional about the things that are attempting to destroy our health or our spirit or our relationship. One of the ways that you can flee youthful lust is by pursuing the right things. So Paul writes to Timothy, he says, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So if we're chasing the things that God wants us to pursue, we will naturally be fleeing the things that God doesn't want us to pursue. So the first thing, pursuing means to press on. It means to persevere. So I increased my level of activity. I used to be known by some of the people in the community as the walking pastor because I lived 3 miles away from my house. I lived 3 miles away from the church. And on certain days of the week, you know, if I was able, and the weather was permissible, I'd walk. I'd walk to church. And then I'd walk home. And so it's a 6 mile, a little over 6 miles. And, you know, it provided me a lot of steps and kept, you know, me relatively healthy. That all changed in 2013 when I started doing the Refresh radio program. Because now I've got to come to the radio station, and that's in the opposite direction. That's 3 more miles from the church. And so I bought a bike. I rode a bike once or twice during a season of my life in 2015 and discovered that riding your bike in your 50s is not the same as riding a bike, you know, in your 15s. There's a huge difference. You know, I could ride a bike all day back when I was young, and three miles was, you know, it's up and over a bridge and things like that. But it was like, man, this is causing parts of my body to be reminded that they still have purpose in life. So, with my, you know, notice from my doctor, hey, we need to get this number under control. That meant that I started walking in a different environment. I wasn't walking to work, wasn't walking the 3 miles, but I'd walk a mile or two. And then at the beginning of the year, I said, you know, like I told you about the fleeing, where you run at a high pace, I decided that I would try and pick up the pace a little bit. And so I would jog for a short stretch. So I would look at my watch that was telling me how far I had traveled. And so I started jogging. And when you do that, all of a sudden you start getting out of breath and things like that. And I looked down and I hadn't even been a tenth of a mile yet. And I said, I think that I can press on. I think that I can make it to the tenth of a mile. I think that I can jog a tenth of a mile. And so I did. Instead of slowing the pace back down, I forced myself, I pressed on to hit the target that I had, was of a tenth of a mile. This happened to be on a day that was a 2 mile journey. And so I pressed on. I got a tenth of a mile. I was getting close to the end of my journey, and I wanted to finish with a sprint. And so I walked for the next tenth of a mile, and then that left me 3/10 of a mile back to my front door. And I said, I'm going to push on. I'm going to pursue. I'm going to press on because I think that I can finish. And so I did. I did not allow myself to slow the pace. I didn't allow myself to quit. I said, I'm going to press on. And then when I could see the finish line, I kicked it up even another notch. I finished maybe not running as absolutely fast as I could, but it wasn't too far off. How is your pace? How is your intentionality when it comes to pursuing the things that God wants you to pursue? And the first things that he wants us to chase after here, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, similarly, here Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, pursue righteousness. The antonym of righteousness, sometimes that you and I can understand the meaning of a word by seeing what the opposite of that word is, and the opposite of righteousness is lawlessness. And so righteousness is the justice of God, or the righteousness of God. It is the quality of being in accord with God's moral law. It is the moral righteousness and the legal justice. It is the ability that God provides to us so that we can obey God and that we can make judgments that are equitable and that they are merciful. We begin to pursue things in alignment with the decrees of God's word. So I hope that one of your goals in life is not just to lose weight, but that it is to pursue righteousness, that you would pursue living your life in obedience to the word of God and to the assignment of God that he has for you, so that you will be useful for every good work. So we're supposed to pursue righteousness. We are also supposed to pursue faith. We live in an environment that loves to motivate people by fear. Now, I will tell you that there are some things that this world has that are going on that if you take your eyes off Jesus, you will see that there are perilous times. There's dangerous times. But we're not supposed to be governed by fear. We are supposed to be governed by faith. And you're not just going to open your spiritual cabinet one day and find, well, look there. There's a cabinet fully stocked with faith. That doesn't happen. My cabinets at home, the things that are in those cabinets are things that we have been intentional about obtaining, purchasing. There are things in there that we have been intentional about keeping. Things that we have been intentional about using. There's an intentionality there. So we go out to get them. We go out to maintain them. We go out to them and to utilize them. Are you and I, are we bringing that same mindset towards the development of faith in our life? So God gives to every person the measure of faith that is necessary. We have to then go on and pursue what we're going to do with that faith. You know, if you have been chasing after something, when you get it, what are you going to do with it? Faith is faith in God, that he is trustworthy, he's faithful, that even when we don't understand, we know that we can trust him. Faith is not just for spiritual development. Faith is to be used in our everyday life as well. Faith says I can put off my self-gratification when it comes to things until God provides the resources or the things in a miraculous manner. So I have faith for God for eternity, but I also have faith for God in the here and now. I not only have faith in God for spiritual provision, but I have faith in God for daily provision. I have faith in God for the ability to keep my spirit, but also to keep my body, to keep my mind, to keep my family. Pursue faith. Faith means that God has the ultimate say. My problems don't have the ultimate say, but God has the ultimate say in every arena of my life, and he is trustworthy. One of King Saul's greatest down, the beginning of his spiritual decline was when he became threatened by David's popularity because of David's victories, and he felt threatened in the position that God placed him, which Saul didn't want in the first place. But then when he was placed in that position, he said, I got to hold on to this position. And he felt like David was a liability instead of being an asset. And so his heart got all messed up. He became self-determinative. He made his own decisions about whether he would obey, how he would obey, whether he would wait in the presence of God. There was one battle where they were about to consult the Urim and the Thummim, and all of a sudden something happened, and Saul said, withdraw your hand. I don't want to know what God has to say about this moment. I'm going to go ahead and make my own decision. And whenever he took control of the responsibility to keep himself in the position that God had placed him in, all of a sudden things went bad. All of a sudden depression started to arise. Anger started to rise. He felt threatened by David, and even at one point in time tried to, you know, kill his own son Jonathan, who he said, I'm trying to establish this throne for you. And so his faith began to be in what he could do for himself instead of what God could do for him. The longer you journey in faith, the more faith you should have in God, that he is faithful. He cannot deny his word. He cannot deny himself. He is faithful. He is just. He is true. And I trust him with my eternity. I trust him with the forgiveness of my sins. I trust him also with my here and now. Keep chasing after faith. I pray that your faith would be greater now than it was in 2024. But I also pray that your faith in 2026, should the Lord tarry, would be even greater than it is in 2025. God bless you. Pursue righteousness and pursue faith. And we will be back tomorrow on the Refresh Radio program to do those exact same things with you. God bless you. You have a great day. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.